When the art day gets rough, you just gotta keep on punching. And here's your Thunder Punch Daily with Jersey Drozd.
Hey, it's me, Jersey, and it's time for your Thunder Punch Daily, the show I record not so daily, sharing a few thoughts from the mind of a cartoonist. And yes, I'm back in the studio again because I'm feeling kind of celebratory. I finished nearly everything I was supposed to get done today. It's been a very hectic week, as it always is for me. I was talking to my buddy Hoover the other day, and he asked, when are you going to pull back and do less like you said you were going to this year? And I said, apparently, it's when I fall down and die that I'm going to do less, because no matter how much I cut out of my schedule, things just fill in the gaps. But that's a good thing. That's a good problem to have, right? Being extremely busy means that you're working towards your goal. So I'm not going to complain about that today, but I did finish nearly everything that I had on my plate today. And so I decided I'm going to close out the last 20 minutes of my day doing a Thunder Punch Daily for you guys, because I love you guys. And also, it'd be nice to get as many updates done this month as possible. This is the challenge I wanted to set for myself this month, is despite having a crazy month of workshops and preparations for Kids Read Comics, I want to see if I can get also as much done as possible with the art and story stuff. I guess it's kind of like it's a momentum thing, right? You know, it's like when you're running on all cylinders all the time, you want to just see if you can push a little bit more out of the gas tank. But what am I talking about today? Well, this is going to be part two to the discussion on audience and handling readers, dealing with fans. Longtime listeners of Art and Story no doubt know my position on the word fan and celebrity. I've never been a big enthusiast for those words. Ever since I first started producing webcomics, I had a gut feeling that this was a great equalizer, the web. And I don't like words that place people on different levels. You know, I'm the producer, you're the fan, just passively sit back and enjoy what I'm going to produce for you. I've always preferred conversation and treating everybody as equals. This comes to the first point that I wanted to address in that post in the Art and Story Forum, which I'll link to in the show notes. It was started by Renee Van Belsen. RV Belsen on the Twitter is reneevanbelsen.wordpress.com. And it was followed up by a bunch of other really intelligent responses from you guys. Fandom. Do you treat them all equally, or do you deal with them as individuals? Or do you deal with them on a case-by-case basis? If so, how? Well, you know, I don't have a book written yet on how this audience interaction stuff works, and there's a lot of common wisdom out there about it. There's people who talk about, you know, the fan and the super fan, or as I would say, the constituent and the invested constituent. There's people who casually enjoy your stuff, and there's people who are really, really invested, and they become... I should take this opportunity to point to a recent Spark podcast. It's quickly becoming one of my favorite podcasts. It's up there with This Week in Media for a really great discussion on new media and how the way we interact with media is changing thanks to the internet and thanks to social media and all that stuff. And Guy Kawasaki was interviewed on the latest episode, which again, I'll link to in the show notes. And he talks about, like, he's got a new book out called, I think it's called Enchantment. And he talks about how to be an enchanter. And he also talks about how when you have really invested constituents or enthusiasts, they become advocates for you. He uses the word evangelist. And I wonder if that's where I originally got that terminology, because I used to say evangelist. Now I say advocate. Evangelist is a bit of a loaded word for some people. But your invested constituent, the person who has skin in the game, is going to, like an Apple fan, is going to go around and tell everybody about you. And so, do you treat them differently? Well, I try not to. I try to treat everybody the same. Although I will say this, people who have demonstrated in the past that they've got skin in the game, that they're a super constituent, they're going to get longer emails from me, and they're going to get a much more heartfelt apology when I respond to their email weeks later. I know that this is a problem I have. I'm terrible at responding with emails. My inbox is usually, here's a bunch of fires to put out today. And then there's always those five messages left over at the end that were personal correspondence or art and story correspondence. And then I'll say, I'll get to it tomorrow. And then the next day happens and I've got 20 things in my inbox. Here's some fires you got to put out today. And then so it goes, right? I don't know how to manage that yet. And that's something I need to work on. And when I figure it out, I'll share it with you guys. But that's the only difference in the way I deal with my constituency, however many there are. I don't know how many there are, to tell you the truth. I don't keep track of that. But people who in the past have demonstrated that they really want to advocate for my content or any content I'm associated with, I'm going to be more eager to discuss things with them on Twitter and Facebook, because if they are that invested, then usually they're somebody who I can talk to in a more long form basis. I've said in the past that on things like Twitter, one of the things I love about it is getting into public discussions about things I care about. And if somebody's invested in stuff that I'm making, then they must care about that stuff too. So of course I'm going to be more eager to engage with them. Do I treat them any differently, like giving them my phone number or letting them into my personal life? No. I try to play certain cards very close to my vest, and it's because I do have a very, I place a lot of value on my privacy. One of the things I love about comics as a medium is that you can be famous and still nobody knows who the heck you are. I can go to Target and buy jeans and nobody says, hey, there's Jersey Drozd. I love that because, I would hate it if my life was such that I had to be on all the time. There are times when I'm tired. There's times where I'm cranky. There's times where I've got a really bad headache because I've had a really rough week and I just don't want to deal with the public, you know? I can't always be my buoyant and cheerful public self. So, and that's where that drawing that line of privacy becomes really important to me, is that I need this circle of quiet in my life where I don't have to be on and going comics for people, right? I think this is probably going to change from person to person. But so going back to what I was talking about in the last episode about authenticity and how that authentic you can be whatever it is about you that you think is most valuable or most interesting or most funny about you. I do try to treat all of my readers the same in terms of I'm not going to be nasty towards them. I'm not going to be, even if somebody gives me a hard time, like I was using that email example in the last episode where I was talking about somebody who was, you know, kind of yelling at me in email, and that happens from time to time. They're going to get the same treatment that anybody who is kind to me is going to get. Thank you for listening. I'm really glad that you're responding to what I'm doing and then respond to the issue. If they're saying nice things about me, man, that means a lot. Thanks so much. I hope that you continue to like what you find there. If somebody who's being mean to me, well, thanks for listening. I'm sorry that you feel that way. So in any case, it's a matter of politeness on my part. Now, this is something I think about a lot from time to time. I watch Jeff Jarvis on Twitter, and he interacts with people in a very interesting way. And I wonder sometimes if he's not right. Or did I say that right? I wonder sometimes if he's right, is what I'm saying. Is that he'll say what he wants to. And if people don't like it, he says, don't follow me. And he'll even retweet the criticism that they leveled at him. And then he'll say, don't follow me then if you don't like what I say, if you think I'm an idiot. He's point blank with people about that. And he doesn't seem to care if people appreciate him or not. I'm sure he does, but he's just as eager to say, if you don't like it, don't follow. You know, to me, that's implicit in Twitter and all social media. If you don't like what somebody's saying, turn off the radio, but you know, turn off the TV, turn off the Twitters, unfollow, unfriend, etc. Take their link out of your RSS feed. But you know, I guess in the internet world, there is, this is another thing I think about. Here's another link to throw at you. There was an episode of Webcomics Weekly where Merlin Mann was actually interviewed by Scott Kurtz. And Merlin said a lot of things that I heartily agree with about when dealing with people who are expressing anger towards you or being especially needy towards you. And I'll just summarize it for those who don't want to go and listen to the whole thing, is that he said something that I thought was just so, so dynamite. He said, don't change your behavior based on one person or a small group of people's complaining about you or their input, especially if you don't know them, because A, you don't know if they are, as Merlin said, I'm quoting Merlin, okay? You don't know if they're as emotionally happy and intellectually well-balanced as you are. And he said sometimes people, but then he also said that sometimes people just need to take a swing at the TV. But then he also said, don't change your behavior because for them, for fear of, in the event that you should disappoint the silent majority of people who respect what you do when you're behaving in a natural way. It seems strange to talk about how to be natural but be mindful of everything that you're saying. Because when you're natural, you're just doing it. You're just being who you are. And somebody asks you, why did you do that thing? You just say, I don't know, because I do it. You know, that's being natural. But I think you can be natural and mindful at the same time. And what I mean by that is, for me, when I feel the inclination, when I feel like the heart start to race, when I feel negative emotions coming over me, I stop and take a breath. And I think, okay, if I'm at ease, then how would I respond to this? Not, am I angry in responding to this? That's one of my stopping points, because I do think about, especially after Merlin said that, I think a lot about the whatever number of people out there who would listen to what I say, who don't say anything to me, who I've made chuckle in the past, or I've made them think a little bit, or I've made them go, oh, that's nice. I think about them, and I don't want to change the way I behave because of some especially passive-aggressive constituent or angry constituent. I don't want to disappoint the people who are satisfied with what I'm doing because I'm constantly responding to people who are dissatisfied with what I'm doing. And what's more is another thing, that a common piece of advice that gets thrown around is that what's written in text is always like 10 or 20% colder sounding than what it was probably intended to be. I get responses like that all the time on Twitter, in comments, on Facebook, in email. People who are saying things that, if you read it with a pleasant sounding voice, it sounds like they're just kind of jabbing me in the ribs with their elbow lightly, like, hey, Jers, you know, you're so funny the way you do this thing. But if you read it in a cold voice, it sounds like they're attacking me, you know. So you also have to measure that when you're dealing with fans or fans. See, I just use that awful word. So I guess it's a little bit of everything. It's a little bit of dealing with them on a case-by-case basis, dealing with them as individuals. I do think that it's important to deal with everybody as much as in an individual basis as you can. But when you start to develop an audience, I mean, I don't have a huge audience, but there's enough people who are responding to stuff that I do in all the different realms that I operate in, not just art and story, but like in my teaching work, getting emails from parents and students, in my comics work, people responding to that. But anyway, there's enough of that coming in that I just can't sit down and have a full conversation with everybody who wants to. So, you know, in certain cases, I do send off that quick little email saying, oh, thanks so much. That means a lot to me. And it does. I hope you continue to like what you're seeing there, sending a quick little email to them, because otherwise I'd be spending what little left I have of my time constantly conversing with strangers. And I hope that doesn't come off, indifferent or disrespectful or non-appreciative of people who give you good, kind words. But then again, that's where the super constituent comes in, because the super constituent, they are so invested in what I'm doing, or what you're doing for that matter, that I think that does grant them a little bit of special treatment in terms of just a little bit more of your time, because they've invested either time or money or some kind of emotional investment that's what we're after, right? That's why we create content, is to get that kind of reaction out of somebody. So I think it does deserve a little bit of an extra pat on the back sometimes. But again, it's not like I'm inviting them over to dinner. I try to be very careful about who I let into my life that way. Like, okay, here's a good example. Casey Van Heiss of wintersandlavelle.com started out as somebody who just liked art and story. She was just a listener, and she interacted with me on Twitter and through email, and eventually I found that she and I had so much in common. We got along so well that, yes, now I can say that we're kind of friends. Kind of, only because we don't see each other every weekend. We don't talk on the phone all the time. We're both too busy for that. But we are, she actually has my phone number now. You know, I mean, like we can talk on the phone if we want to, if we feel the need to, but we're both professionals and we respect each other's privacy. So we don't talk on the phone all the time, right? There's exceptions to that. And this is all about finding your tribe, right? Is that in finding your tribe, the people who follow what you do and are enthusiasts of what you do, you also find your own inner circles. And this comes back to something that actually I think Casey and I even talked about, if it wasn't on a comics or great, or maybe it was even on an art and story this idea of instead of trying to get into the right circles, you create your own circle. And I've seen that happening amongst some art historians, and it just fills me with joy to see people forming their own little mini tribes and own inner circles just through interacting online. It's nice to see that people can find like-minded cartoonists. One last thing about intended audience and finding the audience that you wanted to. I don't know if I've talked about this before. I know I've used this in classroom environments, and so it's fresh on my mind in terms of that. I know I've said it recently, but I can't remember if I said it online or not. I set an assignment for some of my students in terms of finding their, what's your target audience? Who are you aiming your work at? And I said to them, your assignment is to write a profile of the kind of person. It can be based on somebody you know, but really don't tell me who they are. Just give me a profile of the person that you could spend a weekend in a cabin with, all alone. And I'm not talking romantically here. I'm just talking about, like, you're stuck in a building with this person and you can't get out. What is the kind of person that you would not go crazy spending that weekend with? That's your intended audience. But you're going to find, I was just interviewed for a web TV show just today about this, is that you're going to find that, you know, the audience that you accrue is not always what you expected. So many of the things that I say and do, I think I'm going to attract my intended audience, and I find a whole fleet of different people who I never would expect would respond to things that I say, responding to things that I say. And that's a good thing, right? We ultimately want to reach as many people as possible. And I guess what I'm trying to get at here is that we can't, at least for me, I try not to get too hung up on what my expectations are in dealing with people. I try to deal with people with pretty much kind of a blank mind. In from a sort of, this is going to sound really stupid and Zen Buddhist, but from like this kind of state of passive relaxation. So when somebody comes up to me and says something weird that I don't understand, I can say very naturally, "Oh, that's interesting. What do you mean?" Not, "Hey, what are you saying there? What's that supposed to mean?" You know, defensiveness, I think, can cause us a lot more trouble than we expect, than what we think in dealing with others. And then there's going to be, this has happened to me, so I'm sure it's going to happen to other people, because I am by no means on a high rung of being well known. But if I run into this in my own little tiny circles of interacting online, I know other people will, is you're going to come up and wind up interacting with very strange people. People who, God help them, they've got issues of some sort. And in that situation, that's where being very polite and patient can be extremely useful to you, so as not to exacerbate the problem. I think that we talked about this on an Art Story Extreme a while back, is that I had some run-ins with people at Comic-Cons who were a little off, very strange. I don't know why they were talking to me. And at that point, all you can do is just think of good customer service in when you're working in any kind of business that deals with the public is, that's great, you know, and you nod and you smile and you say, "Oh, well," and you try to get them to any kind of coherent point, but it doesn't always happen that way. So in that case, it's a waiting game until they feel like they've said their piece. But this is what you get when interacting with the public. You know, you don't, nobody gets to interact with the public. Nobody gets to be a semi-public figure and not get to experience weirdness or aggression or anger, just like life is, right? I mean, you don't come into this world with any promises that everybody's going to be nice to you and everybody's going to tell you, just congratulate you on every turn. It's the people who, well, here's one more story. There was actually an Art and Story listener a while back who used to very angrily respond to almost everything I said. Just everything I said, just torque them off. And in our discussions, I would always, you know, I don't mind debating. I don't mind having a thoughtful discussion on something where somebody disagrees with me. So I would say, "Well, let's debate it. Give me your side of this. Let's talk this through. Let's find out what's going on with this." And I just couldn't seem to say anything that didn't make this person more angry. And then this person on their own website got to experience their first encounter with somebody who was doing the same thing to them. And this person emailed me and said, "Hey, now that I've gotten a face full of that, I realized what was going on between me and you before, and I'm really sorry that that happened, and thanks for dealing with it the way that you did. So it can also engender respect in people who don't appear to respect you at first. Am I just talking like a He-Man moral right now? I probably am. But that's who I am, I guess. So I hope there was some nuggets in here that are worth considering when dealing with an audience. But the bottom line is, in this final piece of this series on audience, well, there'll probably be more thoughts on this in the future, but is that you can't predict what your audience is going to be. And by sharing anything online, there's an implicit suggestion that you want some kind of an audience. If you truly don't want an audience, then you shouldn't be posting things online, in my opinion. Posting things, sharing things means that you're going to get some people who are listening to you, but not interacting with you. And I guess that's as good a definition of audience as I can think of. And once you're public like that, you got to think hard about how you interact with people. And are you going to be a Jeff Jarvis and say, hey, you don't like it? Don't follow me. And I still follow him. I think he's full of smart thoughts. Does he behave the way I would behave? No, but I think he's smart and I think he's interesting. So I'm going to follow him. Or are you going to be somebody who's very careful and measured in, or try to be measured in everything that you say? Are you going to do it every time? No. I was just interviewed today, like that interview I was referring to earlier. And I said some things that upon saying them, I was like, well, people are going to misunderstand that. That's probably going to get me into trouble with somebody. But you know what? You can't avoid that. You know, unless you are some kind of super genius who speaks very slowly and considers every word choice. Maybe that's my problem. So there's that. Who am I? I'm Jersey Droz, jdroz.com, Jersey on the Twitters. Thank you very much for supporting us in this project. We really couldn't do it without you. As a matter of fact, your support meant that just today I got a lighting softbox. It's basically a photographer lighting stand that I'm going to be using to do some more video streaming and video recording for tutorials and things like that. You know, being in a basement studio with just regular lamps, it makes it really hard to shoot video. It's not very good light. So I got this softbox. I tested it out today. It looks great. My video stream is going to be that much more crisp and vibrant, and I'm looking forward to doing some more over-the-shoulder drawing videos for Art and Story Supreme. And so your support made that possible. So I thank you from the bottom of my heart. And more stuff coming down the pipe. Some really exciting deals I'm cutting right now to possibly take Comics Are Great into a weekly format. I wouldn't do this unless I had the time to do it and unless I had help to do it, which it looks like I'm going to be able to do. So I'll have more news about that in the near future. So other than that, thanks again, and I'll be back soon with another Thunder Punch Daily. Oh, one more thing, pay attention to the Twitter. If you're listening to this on Friday night, pay attention to the Twitters and the Facebooks and whatever I'm connected to tomorrow, because it's Free Comic Book Day. I'm going to be there with Mark, and we'll probably be recording some fun while we're there. So if you can't go out to your local comic store, you can at least participate with some fun online. So like I was saying, I'll be back soon with another Thunder Punch Daily, and until then, remember everybody...
I've been in a number of difficult situations, but none of them were tougher than trying to get along with Evil Lynn. And yet, I found that if you make the best of a bad situation, you can come out a winner. So when things go wrong, instead of feeling sorry for yourself, try to work it out with a smile. You might surprise yourself when you see how well it works. Until next time.